I think something that's very interesting and important about this piece is it's not exactly clear who he was intending to speak to, but probably older Avreichim and Kolel guys. So even though he starts off by talking about Tzirei Yisrael for kids, I don't think that even he would agree that for the typical kid, and certainly not younger children, that as a pedagogical point, that this is the way you should try to get your children into learning. On the other hand, I think what he is saying is that Aliba de Emes, this is true. The question is to what extent we can actually employ everything that he's saying for our children now. That, I think, is an asterisk and would have to be elaborated on at a time that we have more time than at the moment. But I think, not ironically, but it's Bashert, I guess you would say, that I think to some extent what he's saying is even more relevant to a group of adults who are at this point at a stage of life where whatever we got in our formal education, we got. And now the question is, to what extent do we still remain connected to learning, and to what extent do we still feel motivated or obligated to stay in learning? So with that background, let's see if we can get through the highlights, which I think are really, really important and fascinating, and I think will be very, very relevant to everyone in this room in the first two pages. So he starts off with a medrash. We'll just read the highlights of the medrash, but it's a medrash in Tehillim, a very famous medrash based on psukim that we're familiar with. Lulei sarascha shashuai. If it wouldn't be for Torah, if I wouldn't have this pleasure from Torah, so what does the medrash say on that pasuk? Amri Yisrael, ilulei sarascha shayisa imi, if I wouldn't have Torah as this plaything, as this thing that I can really sink my teeth into and get pleasure in, I would have been completely lost. That's the famous, that's the headline of this medrash. It continues by quoting other psukim in Tehillim, which are attributed to Moshe and other psukim. And at the end of the day, if you take a look on the third line, this is the money quote, says the medrash. What's the perspective we have to have on Torah? Heim chayim li Yisrael. Torah is life. Ilulehi lohayachayim. There is no life without Torah. Okay, that's the bottom line. That's the lulei sarascha, right? It's not that I wouldn't have a great life. It's not that I wouldn't have my best choice life. It's I wouldn't have life. It's that simple. It's that significant. Ki hi chayach, as the pasuk says, ki motse, etc. So now he's going to elaborate on this point. And I think it's really has to be thought through how this is employed at different ages and different stages of life. But as MS, I think it's profound. Torah, einena kishar hamiktos. Torah is not like any other fields of study, any other hobbies, any other areas of interest. Miktsoa bocher lo kolechad kifin itiyaso kishrono. Right, people pick different professions. You know, you're good at math, I'm going to become an accountant or an actuary. You're always good at, you're the guy who's speaking in class, I'll be a lawyer, etc., etc. I always like science, so therefore I'm going to become a doctor. He says, that's not what Torah is. Torah, ilulehi lo hayechayim. Torah is not just something that you indulge in because you're good at, you think you'll make a good living, or even do good things with. It's much more basic than that. Torah, he says, is life. Now, here's the point where he specifically is addressing kids, but again, I don't think his kids, you know, he meant like sixth graders, or even maybe teenagers nowadays. It's the third time I've given that caveat, but you'll understand why. Tzirei Yisrael, he says, he's talking to the kids, and I would put all of us at the moment in the kid program. Shezachu lilmo Torah. So again, imagine, I don't think he means going to high school, I think he means people who are already learning, you know, in yeshiva, yeshiva gvoa, gadolo, however you would call it. Ein lehem l'hashtit et limudam al cheshkam b'torah, ela hechrach ha-torah. This is his key pedagogical point, and again, we have to decide how we think this would be best employed nowadays. But he says, you cannot make it as the foundation, the tashtit, the foundation of your learning, that you enjoy it. I have a ratzon, I have a cheshek to learn, therefore I'm going to open up a sefer, therefore I'm going to go to a shir. Rather, it has to be because of hechrech. It's a feeling of necessity. And he points out, even he's aware, however many decades ago this was written, even he's aware that things have changed. Bedoros kodmim yada kol yehudi ki lulehi lohayichayim. This message that we began with from the Medrash says it used to be that the typical Jew understood that. And as a result, kulam lamdu. They weren't all lamdanim. They weren't all geniuses, right? You had the shul for the tailors and the shul for the water carriers, but they had a chevra mishnayis. And for those who are a little bit more capable, they had a chevra shas, they had Ein Yaakov. Whatever it is they learned, he says, But why did they do it? Despite their backbreaking poverty and their backbreaking exhaustion, they did it because they intuited this idea that, as the Medrash had said, that it is life. B'doreinu anu, he says, but already in our generation, rak masay mispar yodim mechiyuv, v'hechrech limud haTorah. He says, very few people really internalize this. Aval komet sirim zeh hamakdish zmanu lilimud, hi asemel shel am haYisrael hamiti, huhu hamiyatzeg es am haTorah. But those who do, and again, I'm embellishing, whether it's of whatever age, including of adults, and could be a base matter, of age children, those who understand this point, they are the vanguard. It's not about how much you learn, but from his perspective, from Revolbi's perspective, it's about the mentality that we bring to it, which again is already part of the theme we developed in the introduction last week. Right? The ikkar of this sefer is not as much as what you're doing as what you're feeling, what's going on inside. Says Revolbi, the ikkar is what you bring to the learning, the perspective, the fact that you understand that it is life, that it is hechrech. He says at the end of the paragraph something very powerful, which is very much... definitely pointed towards more till people, you know, in the smicha level age. It says, you shouldn't go to yeshiva, you shouldn't be learning, because you're picking a beit sefer miktsoi l'Torah. Yeah, I'm in medical school, I'm in law school, and I'm in rabbinical school. Now, I don't know if it means he's against having a smicha program. Maybe it isn't. But lav dafka, what he's against is the mentality. That this is just a professional training. In my chag ha-smicha, I'm a graduate of maybe the most famous rabbinical school in America, and I remember Rabbi Harlab, Harlav Racha, excuse me, he's still alive, he's not well, excuse me, Shev Rafu Shalema. Rabbi Harlab, many decades ago now, Rabbi Harlab, I think it was he who quoted Rabbi Chaim Ozer, who wrote a letter, I think it was to Rav Cook, they were thinking of opening up a German Ashkenazi style, an old German Ashkenazi style Torah Derech Eretz rabbinical school in Israel. And Rav Cook had asked Rav Chaim Ozer for a bracha, I think, if the case was. Anyway, Rav Chaim Ozer had a famous line there. He said, you shouldn't be making a Beit Haroshes L'Rabbanim, a rabbi-making factory. Right? Again, I don't think anyone's against having Rabbanim who know what they're doing. It's the mentality. Is this just professional school, a trade, or is this life itself? Now, if you skip a little bit, he says, Ha'emeti, the next paragraph, Ilulei Torah Ein Chaim. The hechrech chiyuni lelimud haTorah perush parus to me al kol echad ve'echad miYisrael hacheshek bo yavo aval hatchala hi hechrech, right? And that's we know that from every other area of our life, right? If it's just based on the fact that I enjoy this, I have a desire for it. Desires come and go. Some weeks, some days, some years, some stages of our life. We're more motivated. Sometimes we're less. But if this is hechrech, if this is absolutely necessity, then we're going to do it anyway. What popped into my mind when I was looking at this again last night. At least for me, and I think many of you will relate to this, I would say is exercise. Right? There are a lot of people who enjoy exercise. Just earlier this week, I was trying to help somebody with a shidduch, and he sent me his resume for shidduch, and he had included, this is his own self-perception, he included this in his resume, how he likes working out. Lifting weights, he meant working out in that sense. And it makes him feel better, not just energy, he feels better about himself, etc., etc. Right? He enjoys it. Right, there would be other people, you know, who would not necessarily feel that way, right? But what's the difference between people who enjoy exercising and people who know they need, who look at exercise as hechrech? They do it, and I only sometimes do it, right? If you do it just because you enjoy, it'll come and it'll go. If you do it because you say, no, this is what I need to be healthy. It could be a diet, all sorts of things. If you once you get into that mind, it's a completely different mindset. It's a completely different way of looking at things. So then you're not necessarily subject to the ups and downs of, which are natural, of motivation. That comes and goes. But if it's, again, I'm not talking about, again, that doesn't mean, again, for us, it doesn't mean necessarily I have to learn 5 hours a day and if I don't do that, I'm not. But if a person looks at Torah and says, I can't go through a day if I didn't learn, at least learn something. I may not be motivated, I may be exhausted, I may be on a deadline, my kids are, I've got 100 things. If I don't at least do, whether it's the daf, whether it's the Shnai Mikra, whether it's the Tumishnayas, whatever it is, but if I look at Torah as hechrich, then there can't be a day that goes by that I don't learn. That's the mentality he's describing. I think that is absolutely, absolutely powerful and obviously 100% correct. At the same time, if you skip down another two little paragraphs, with all of the focus on you must, here's the key pivot. Ulam, hacheshek ba'in ha'limud. Part of the magic of Torah is... Again, you're playing a little bit of a game with yourself, but that's okay. We're being transparent about it. You have to come to it with the perspective of necessity. Hechrich. If you can't come to it with, I enjoy it. A good chakira, a good Reb Chaim, or for other people, a good Chassidish Shavuot, a good whatever it is. So therefore I'm going to come learn. No, you have to come to it, hechrech, hechrech. That's the point we just made. But you should know, says Rav Albi, if you walk through the door because you know you have to, you'll leave with the pleasure. If you walk into the door looking for the pleasure, maybe yes, maybe no. And who knows, who said you'll even come back tomorrow? But if you come in every day, you walk through that door every day because of hechrech, you should know the cheshek will come.
Is this typically all learning or just Gemara?
I don't think... True, but I don't know what he had in mind. I think it's unquestionably true about all learning. It quotes a very important Rashi in Yisro, Va'atim shamoa tishmu b'koliu shmartim es brisi ve'yisem li skula mikol ha'amim kili kol aretz. Right? Famous pasuk, says Rashi, ima tatzikablu aleichem. If you'll accept the Torah upon yourself, and obviously in light of what we're saying now, as something that's necessary for life, yarev lechem mikanu lahaba. You have to come to it with commitment, have hechrich, and only then, memelo, will the pleasure, will the enjoyment come. And no truer words were ever said, shakal hatchalot kashot. It's always hard to start. So in this sense, he's giving a deeper philosophical, psychological interpretation. In other words, it's hard because you're not doing it just because you enjoy it. Right? The first time you do something that you know you're going to enjoy, I don't think that's hard. Right? The first time I ate cotton candy was not hard at all. Right? And I will tell you, the first time, you know, at least for me, again, everyone's different, but for me, the first time I started dribbling a basketball, I'm not talking about how good I was, but it was pleasurable from the first second. Right? But there are other things, and for most people, Torah is one of them, which you don't have that right away. There are people who have that gift. Mamash Matana from Shemayim, the moment that they see it, they start it, they enjoy it. But what he's saying, and I can say in my own life, with my Talmidim, with my children, nothing's 100%, but I can be made, this is way over 90%. If you're willing to commit yourself before and even without the initial enjoyment, the enjoyment does come. I often, every year, sometime after Sukkot, usually between now and Hanukkah, I'll have conversations with Talmidim who are exactly in this spot. Right? They're in yeshiva, learning 12, 13 hours a day. They only learn 6 hours a day, they're a bum. Right? They're in yeshiva now. And they're not enjoying it. What do I do, Rebbe? It's like, it's a guarantee every year I say, and I don't use I never use the exercise metaphor with them, but I have sometimes used something which hopefully will be resonant to us as well. I've sometimes used the dating or the romance metaphor. I said, my line, you'll take it or you'll leave it. I hope this works for my students, but it's not a gimmick. I really believe this is a good metaphor. I said, everybody wants to be the girl in the relationship with learning. What do I mean by that? Right? As a general rule, I'm stereotyping obviously, when it comes time to like make that big declaration of commitment, love, will you marry me kind of thing, right? Traditionally, right, the boy or the man is the one who has to say that to the girl, right? But that's a humongous risk, right? You're walking right out on that ledge, right? You think you've read this. You think you've read the situation well. You think it's been going well. You think she's going to say, "Yeah, me too," but you don't know until those words come out of your mouth, right? You're totally vulnerable. You're totally exposed. But someone has to go first, and in most cases, traditionally, it's going to be the male, right? It's the same thing in learning. I say to them, we all would love Hashem to be the guy. And Hashem to just say, David, I love you. You know, I'm going to show you I love you. Each time you open up that sefer, it's going to be enjoyable. You're going to feel my hug and my kiss every time you sit down. That's how much I love you. Do you love me back? Right? Then I'd be happy to be the girl in that relationship. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Hashem, thank you. You'd make it so pleasurable for me every time I open up the sefer. I said, but unfortunately, we got to be the guy in the Beis Medrash as well. By which I mean to say, you need to show up to the Beis Medrash and to Seder and to Shir, making the commitment even before you yet know if Hashem's going to send that love back to you. In the feeling of, I enjoyed the learning. I said, what I can tell you, I can predict, not 100%, but 90% of the guys I've had this conversation with who are willing to make that commitment even before they felt the love back, because sometimes it takes 3 weeks, 4 weeks, sometimes it takes 6 weeks, and I even had one student who was able to hold on until Pesach until he got it. But if you're willing to make the commitment to Hashem, in that sense, by showing up every day and learning, I love you, Hashem, in that sense, eventually you're going to get it back. Now, I didn't think of this. I hadn't even seen this in so long. But that is what he's saying. I just have a few more minutes. I want to just get to a few of his other points. Again, I apologize, I'm running, but hopefully we're all together for Shabbos, so there's plenty more time to talk and think about these things. Next paragraph, very important, just to sum up, and then we'll move to turn the page to see some other quick points. HaKabbalah Me'ata, paraphrasing now, or elaborating, embellishing on this Rashi, HaKabbalah Me'ata, the fact that I'm willing to commit now, He kabbalah sahechrach lilimud Torah, ki Torah ein ena chasa shalom mitzoa. Right? A person thought, I thought I was going to be a lawyer, but I went to law school and I didn't like it. I thought I was going to be a GI, so now I'm going to switch to radiology because I realized, you know, that's a mitzoa. You try this, I thought day trading would be good, now I think it's not going to be good. Right? You can move around, but that's not Torah. You have to have that commitment. Right? It's not just gathering a few halachos, I know what to do, or a little parnasa. Ela olam ruchani. V'chaim, what does that mean to live? This is my favorite phrase. Five words, to have that perspective, once you have that mentality of I have to learn because it's my life, then you become an ezrach b'olam ruchani zeh. You want to be a citizen in the world of Torah. Am I a member of the Torah world? Right. So nowadays you say that, you imagine all sorts of political associations or assumptions that have to come with that. But on a deeper level, who wouldn't want to be part of the yeshiva world, the Torah world? So what do you have to do to be a citizen, to have a card-carrying member, to get a passport for Olam HaTorah? If you can learn 12 hours a day, halavai, but that's not what's required. That's not what you get the passport for. You get the passport, says Ravolbi, you become a Ezrach, Olam Ruchanizeh, you become part of the world of Torah, if you come to it with that commitment that I need to do this. This is a necessary part of my existence, a part of my life. Memela, if you come to it from that perspective, it's a boomerang. You're going to get back to the enjoyment, the pleasure, the hanah. But if you're doing it because you enjoy it, you could be doing it. You could be doing it well. But you're not a card-carrying member of Olam HaTorah. Olam HaTorah is the mentality. It's a complete shift in mentality. I learn because I must. There are people who love the Daf Yomi. They get excited for it. Great. And other people are doing it just because they know this is what I have to do. Again, this could be Mishnayis. It could be Chumash. It could be Chassidus. It doesn't matter what it is, as in my opinion. But it has to be something that is regular, because how could I live without it? Without it, there is no life. Let's turn the page, and we'll just mention a few of his other highlights. For those who, again, who have the book or who have the copies, you could definitely take a look at more of this inside, because we're not going to have a chance to read it all together. But he has this big paragraph at the top of page Chaftala, the second page, Hanichnas l'omek limud, halimud. He says, this is where he's basically making the point that all of life is a struggle between, you know, our this dream life that we have of like pleasure and like everything is like, you know, one big amusement park, you know, and our seichel, which knows that that's not really what life is about, what he calls the olam hadimyon and the olam haseichel. In the seichel, not, you know, you could be the biggest chassid, but you hopefully have a lot of seichel too. Meaning seichel means what you really know to be true. What we really know to be true is not that there is no fun in life, but that's not what life is about. On the other hand, every time we open up a newspaper or a website, right, we see pictures of this Pesach program and this new car and this whatever it is, and we're filled with all the pleasures of the world, even the mutter ones, forget the usher ones, even the mutter ones, at least mutter before Kedoshim Tiyu gets involved, but technically mutter, perhaps, of all sorts of things. So that was one point, but in this paragraph he points out something which I think we all could identify with, because this is why this is such a beautiful sefer, because he gets us, he knows us. He says, when do these ideas often pop into our head? Tafka, when we open up a sefer. The whole day I wasn't thinking about it. The second I opened up the Gemara, all of a sudden my head is in 100 places. I'm remembering the past when I was a yeshiva bacher, my Rebbe wasn't nice to me. I remember the time where I got frustrated. All those things, the difficulties of the past, or all those things I need to do tomorrow, my wife's going to make me do 100 Shabbos errands. When does that pop into my head? The whole day I'm busy with other things. The second I open up the Sefer, all of a sudden 1,000 thoughts come into our head. So what's the only way, he says, to overcome that? So the main point is, if you realize this is life. And it's in Echanami, it's hard. He says, this is a battle. But the battle of life is getting to the point where you understand, yes, it's true, there are other things in life, hopefully some of them are good, some of them less good, but okay, we'll navigate those when we navigate those. But right now, there is nothing else I can do, because nothing else I want to do, because this is what I have to do. It is life, it is hechrech. So I want to just, he mentions two other points, which it'd be chaval to finish this without mentioning, so we'll do it very, very briefly. You skip a little bit halfway down, he adds two points, which I guess you could call are practical. He means them as matters of principle, but they're also practical benefits or tricks, so to speak. Because again, at the end of the day, Rabbi, I'm not feeling it. Okay, I know you told me, I got it, but it ain't working. So practical tips, he gives, at least that's the way I understand what he's doing in the next half of the page, two things. Number one, you talk about halfway down. He quotes the famous Gemara in Erevin. The pasuk says, "Ki chayim heim lemotzei ehem." Right, they're chayim for those who find them. The Gemara says, "Al tikri lemotzehem, ela lemotzeihem." Not those who find it, but who are motzi. And the Gemara is referring to the fact that it's important to not just look at Torah with your eyes, think about Torah, but to verbalize, to talk Torah, not just to think Torah. Says Rav Obi, summarizing this Gemara, Habolea daf Gemara be'inayim, right? Without any bitui, without expressing, without pronouncing, without saying the words, just reading the Gemara in your, with your eyes, but not saying the words. Olotzio b'sfatav, ein hadvarim chayim etzlo. You learned. It's not saying you didn't learn. It's not saying you're not Talmud Torah. But it's not alive. Af kishemotzio oso b'piv, azhem chayim lo. The only way it becomes alive is if you say it. And he has a tremendous diuk in the well-known mission. We all know the mission in Pirkei Avos, he mentions in the next paragraph. Shnayim shiyoshvin v'oskim b'torah. You have a chavrusa, you and your chavrusa sitting and learning. Shechina shuria b'neim. The shechina is there. But says the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Gimel, echad osek b'torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovei lo schar. If you learn by yourself, you're going to get reward. That's Talmud Torah. Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovei lo schar. But to the average person who reads the Mishnah, what's the difference between the two halves of the sentence? One is just getting rewarded, and the other one, Hashem was there. So first of all, let's just stop for a second and appreciate this Mishnah in a way that we maybe never did previously, which is, isn't that what we all want, right? If I had to sum up most of the conversations I have with, certainly with adults, in the shul and beyond, and even sometimes in yeshiva, we're already, again, thank God, so in a shul like this, we're already, these are all people who are already doing the right thing, more or less, right? This is the, you know, the tzibur that we have from people, right? But a lot of people have been doing the right thing for 20 years and 30 years, but it's like, where's Hashem? I spoke about this a little bit on Shana Rabbah, other times, maybe I should speak about it even more, right? But they don't feel it. So what we really want is not just to learn, not just to shake the lulav, not just to put on the tefillin. What we really want is Shechina Shura B'nei, which I'm explaining some, you know, more embellishingly, in the sense of, we want to feel it. We want to feel Hashem with us. We want it to be a spiritual experience, right? So the Mishnah is telling us, just learning, just reading by yourself, labdaf, you'll get that. That comes with Harusa. But he adds, and here's the diuk, which I don't know the average person would have picked up on. The diuk is, the first half of the Mishnah was, b'shnayim yeshanam divrei Torah, right? It's oskim b'torah or divrei Torah. If you want it to be alive, he says, it has to be divrei Torah, meaning it's being spoken. If it's just something that you think about, lav dafka, it's going to work. And what you also see from this Mishnah, and this is what we'll end down in a minute, what you also see from this Mishnah, which he embellishes on and elaborates on, I should say, for the rest of the section, is it's not just that there's the verbalizing, but that in theory you could do even if you're learning by yourself, right? You could just be reading with your eyes like you read a novel, or you could be saying the words out loud. So even the saying, that's what the Gemara in Erevin is saying. If you're motzi otam b'piv, then it becomes alive. But his point, which he especially elaborates on now in light of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, is not only the fact that if you have a chavrusa, you're talking, but more importantly, and this is really appropriate for even this group we have right this morning, is chabura, of being together and being part of a group. He elaborates very, very beautifully, but again, I think we all get it too, right? Ain't no doma going through this alone, or doing this, again, at minimum with chavrusa. This is also why the beauty of a shir. Some people are more chavrusa people, some people are more shir people, right? Good Jews, I think, should try to be a little bit of both. You know, if you never ever sit over a sefer yourself, you just go to shiurim, I think you're missing something. But if you're always only learning on your own or with your chavrusa and you never go to a shiur, I think you're probably also missing something. So whether it's a chabura like this, or it's a chavrusa, and the chavrusa can be with your children too, by the way. And I'll say something more radical. It can be with your wife. Or it could be with a friend and a neighbor. But the point is, there should be some time where you're sitting over a work of Torah, thinking about it, and more importantly, talking. All the practical benefits are, I think, intuitive, and you could probably read 7 educational books to prove it too. Right? Moderate education, correct me, Rabbi Klamper, I think it's finally caught up with Chazal. Right? Certainly we understood way before the modern educational system did, the power of the engagement, the talking things out, the ability to clarify. But Rav Obi's not even talking about that. He's talking about the spiritual / psychological experience of feeling Torah alive. Feeling like Hashem is in my life. So let's just sum up. The way I understand this, what I want you to take away from this, what I took away from this, is 3 points. Number one is, the knisa, the mafteach to open the door has to be the feeling of hechrich.
Number two is, or 1B is, if you do that, the hana, the pleasure, the enjoyment is going to come back to you. But if you run after Torah like you run after every other pleasure in the world, right? I want to get a raise, I want to get a new car, I want to get in a bigger house, I want to go on a nicer vacation, I want to go to Eilat for Hanukkah, I want to go to Florida for Pesach, I want to go, all those things, and I want to enjoy learning. Right?
I'm not a bad person, I also want to enjoy learning too.
You've reduced Torah to such an extent, maybe you'll enjoy it, maybe you won't, but that's not what we're really about. Right? On the other hand, if you come at it with a hechrich perspective, then you'll do it even when you're not motivated, and guess what? The Torah promises us you'll end up enjoying it. Number two was the benefits of verbalizing Torah, and number three is the importance of having chavrusas or being part of a group, a chabura, because that obviously helps us even when we're less motivated. Shkoach, everyone. Have a great Shabbos.